We are up to the 14th day of Nisan. Which is a handful of psukim in. Let's see. Okay, you'll flag me down if I go too far.
Okay.
Okay, at any rate.
Continue.
We're up to Chafaf. We're up to the passage that begins Barisha in Barbasiyam Lachaydesh. That's the last thing we learned last time. Is the reference to Pesach. So again, we're talking, according to virtually all the Mefarshim, about the first Pesach in the Bayis HaShlishi, God willing, that these Pesachim go with the understanding that the Beis HaMikdash will be built in Nisan, and that the people will gather on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then on the 7th of Nisan, as we already learned. That Pesach will come. Chag Shavu Eis Yomim Matzis Yachel, the holiday of 7 days when we eat matzis. Normally it would say Shivas Yomim. The Shavu Eis Yomim, which still means 7 days, the Lashon Shavu Eis, Rashi says, is a reference to the fact that it starts the 7 weeks of Sfira, will begin then as well. Anyway, this is a reference to that Pesach va'osa hanosi b'emuhu ba'adoi va'ad kolo ama'oretz parchatos. And that way the nasi will come forth and offer up for him and for all the people a parchatos. No, the Kohen Gadol will do the actual avoida. The nasi is not the Kohen. Nasi is the leader. The person, there's no melech that's mentioned here, so he's called the nasi. But he's the leader. Whoever will be the leader. How does the par come to the nasi? That's the question. So Rashi here brings, I started to read this to you last time. Rashi brings, Rabbi Seinu Amru Shabikshu Lignai Sefer Yecheskel, that they wanted to put away the Ches of the Ches, Rav Seisrim Divrei Torah, because there are a few occasions where the Psukim, including obviously this Pasuk, contradict the Torah, which means that there's no reason for a nasi to bring a par on Pesach. Rashi goes on, and this is from Menachis, Baram Zarcha L'Tayv Charanya Bechizkiya Mengaren, Sheyosha Vali Avedarshai. However, somebody rescued Yecheskel by explaining these psukim. Rashi says, Baveinenu Ne'ala Mimenu Mashadorash B'Kobon Esa'ela. Unfortunately, we don't have a record of what he said to explain these psukim. Par Barba, somebody, this is Lama, why are you bringing a par in Erev Pesach? Vaymer ani. So Rashi suggests Shema Barba also benisin shall Pesach rishay shenischanach by habayis oimed. This is not a statement for every Pesach; it's only for that first Pesach when the Beis Hamikdash will be built. Upar ze ba tachas egel ben baka shikriv aron bishmini lemiluim. On the 8th day of the miluim, Parsha Shmini, way after the 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Aaron, which, when Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah, on the 8th day, Aaron did the Avodah, and he offered up an eagle. Umagid shemlo yikriva bishmini lemiluim yakrivenu biyudal benissan k'teshischanach la'avodah kaidim yamtiv. And it's telling you that he gets 2 weeks to offer it. If yishalav kavana yisvaylas amayid la'asayis k'vasham alamayla v'alonasi yehoylas haminchavaneisa pachagim. Now Rashi, unlike all the other Mefarshim, or most of the other Mefarshim, says that tries to explain the psukim as consistently as he can with the regular rules. So here it's not regular. So he says it's telling you that for the miluim you bring a carbon for the miluim, but we wanted to still stick with the rules. So the normal rule would be that he would bring it on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and the pasuk is telling you that he can bring it up till the 14th day of Nissan. It's very hard to understand why such a thing would take place. Bechlal, it's hard to understand how in the Beis HaMikdash they would be 2 weeks late with the carbon. And even if it could happen that you're 2 weeks late with the carbon, but not the first day that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is built. The whole idea that this could happen is what?
That could verify in itself.
Yeah, but hard to understand. It's good. They're going to be 2 weeks late to bring an ox. The other mafreshim say that this is what you're supposed to do. The psukim here. Everything in Yecheskel is inconsistent. I told you last time the boundaries aren't the same boundaries. And the form of the Beis HaMikdash is not the same Beis HaMikdash. It's a totally different construction. This is all the Bais HaShlishi. And therefore, they want to explain, all the Mepharshim explained this simply, there's the Bais HaShlishi and this is the way it's going to be. The Rashi, however, tries to be as consistent as he could. What?
Isn't that what a Nevuah is? Yecheskel is saying what's going to be when the Bais HaShlishi.
I'm good with that.
Why would we think that it's going to be, you know?
Well, the big shoe lignites is a Gemara. So, the fact that from here on, all the parakim here, not from here on, here back, from Perek Memin on, is all different than the Beis HaMikdash we know, is Bikshu Lignais. It's referring to the Beis HaShlishi. Nevertheless, as you'll see in a minute, Rashi consistently tries to explain that it should make sense. Now, why a par and not an egel? Why a par and not a keves? We are city people. We really don't know much about animals. We know that used to be in the olden days that meat came from animals, and today the meat comes from pomegranate, where some animals are fortunate enough to be, the dream comes true in their pomegranate steaks, but be that as it may, there are three families of animals that you could be makor of the Beis HaMikdash. That's it. Three families of animals. The family, there's only one behema gasa, which is bakar, which is the para or para, and an egel is in the first year, par is in the third year. They're shar egel, shar par, same animal, male or female. The other two families are the behema daka, the small animals, which are a goat and a sheep, and their families. A sheep and a ram are the two of the are the couple of the sheep family. So that's really all there is. Seh could be seizim, it could be, it says a small animal. Now here it says to bring a par. Why a par? No idea. We'll see in a minute. Vishivis yimei hachag.
You always bring par.
Okay. Vishiv, you're not explaining why, just saying on every yom tov you bring a par.
According to the ones who all learn like Rashi,
you can't invent karbanos that contradict the Torah. The Beis HaMikdash didn't look anything like the Mishkan. We never had a problem with that. Even though the Chumash describes a Mishkan, and Shlomo HaMelech describes the Beis HaMikdash, we don't see it as a change. We see it as something new. So that Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan didn't look alike. Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash, the measurement, even just of the so-called Ayil Mayeh, the Ulam, the Hechel, was much bigger in the Beis HaMikdash. So what?
How permanent could look like movable?
Well, the measurement could have been the same, right? But yeah.
When you come to the sacrifices, he's trying to mirror what happened in the desert.
Okay, in that case, so Rashi, well, just look as a case in point. Let's look at the next pasuk. Next pasuk says, "Shivas Yemei Achag." Yasu Oyla Lashem Shivas Parim Shivas Elam Tamimim Layayim Shivas Hayamim. Now the simple reading of the Pasuk is they brought seven Parim and seven Elam every day of Pesach. V'chatos Seir Izim Layayim. Plus a Chatos, okay, that's not a Par, that's a Seir Izim. Now that is totally unlike what we bring. We say it in our davening, we're going to say it very soon on Pesach, that we bring
two
par and one ayil. Now look at how far Rashi goes to try to make it fit. Again, unlike the other Mepharshim, Rashi is again bothered by the inconsistency with the Pasuk. So Rashi says the following. Torah says not seven. I have no way to explain this pasuk. What's the seven parim? Now look how Rashi's matchik. Ella, shiva parim v'shiva elam v'shiva seyamim. It means over the 7 days you bring seven parim and seven elam. Par liyayim ayel liyayim. This pasuk comes to tell you they're not ma'akiv. Meaning if you missed one day, it doesn't mean you have to miss the other day. The Gemara doesn't bring this pasuk. From a pasuk later, so that's how Rashi is explaining the pasuk. Now it's very not satisfying.
First of all, two parim every day.
Because it's two parim every day, and here I mentioned shiva parim. So so Rashi is pushing to make it as consistent as he can. But as I said, the other mafarshim don't seem to be bothered. Same thing with pasuk of dalet. Well, mincha eifa lapar. Now we all say shlosh esrein la par, shnei som la'ayil, yisrein la kevis. Here you have a whole eifa for the par, and an eifa for the ayil, yasu v'shemin hin la'eifa, and a lot of oil. Again, totally inconsistent. And again, Rashi is madchik. Rashi says, you shouldn't have Rashi do these things. Rashi, mincha eifa la par, mincha sa nesachim eifa la par, eni adem al, hari amr tar shlosh esreinim. V'yashloimar, eifas kevach. You bring an eifa of coarse flour, and you keep on sifting it until you get the fine flour, which will fit with the amount. So again, it's not a satisfying pshat. That's the way the other mafarshim explain that this is talking about something very specific to them. Rashi and Chafei says Ubashiva Khabisha Siyam Lakhaidish Bakhad. When it comes to the next Sukis, Yasir Kaila Shivas Yamim, Kachatas Kaila Kamikham, the same measurements. Now if it would be that you bring it every Sukis, this pasuk would be extra. And it seems that again we're saying in the Bayis HaShlishi, these are the So we're not accustomed to Rashi doing this type of thing, and what should I do? Maravokam Anilach. Rav Shamshel Feil Hirsch is quoted here by, I think this is his son who wrote the Pirush on the Aftiris, Dr. Mendel Hirsch, eldest son of Samson Feil Hirsch, says a tremendous insight. He says, this is the glorious solution, which the application of the result of the research of Shamshel Feil Hirsch, Zitzal, on the offerings to the difficulties that this chapter brings to that which here too has escaped being understood. Right, what he explains is not the difficulties that bother Rashi, but an insight, why a par, why a seh, why a keves, why an izim, like to us it's all the same. So he explains that there's a symbolism in every carbon. Every type of animal that you bring as an offering is symbolic of something. A sheep, the sheep is an animal which just sort of follows around, doesn't really do anything. It just grows wool if you wait long enough, but otherwise the sheep is pretty much a useless animal. It just follows, they say, as sheep to the slaughter, right? It just follows. All it's really good for is wool and lamb chops. You can't even get both. You have to pick one or the other. So the par, on the other hand, par is a magnificent, strong animal, an ox that can pull a plow, that can pull a wagon. So he says the following. The prince, the Nasi, as a representative of the nation on its behalf, had to bring a par as an expiation offering. No translation. Not as a seh, with the expression of a more passive surrendering of their fate to their shepherd. The seh that you bring every yomtiv is more passive, that you surrender yourself, kav yachter by the shalal, but as a par, with the expression of the strong active strength of the working animal in cultivating the field of mankind for the service of God, and for planting the human seeds to come up with the service of God, is he to step up before God. So what he's saying is there's something symbolic of the building of a bayis hashlishi, and that is the par. The par is meant to be a more active, a statement of a more active role in planting things and getting things started again. We know that you bring a par by Helam Davishal Tzibor. When the Tzibor falls and does something publicly as an error, or par hanasi, par kind of Meshuach, then in these type of cases, the par is brought. So he says, the seh is appropriate for a regular year. From a yid comes to the base of English, it means it says, if to say he's subjugating himself to the Rabbi Nishlan. The par, on the other hand, is the animal which says that we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to get to work. Which is very appropriate for the, for the time of Rabbi Shlishi. Now, this piece, he left out the third family, or he only talked about the Seh and the Par, he left out the Seer. Later, he refers not to the Seer, but to Ayel. Again, as Shamshon of Farhash proves, I don't know what that is. He says, why Shiva Parim? The meaning of the number 7 in the ram's offering would have to be taken in close conjunction with the Parim. Ayel, in the language of offering, always occurs as the description of a personality richly endowed with goods and powers, taking the lead, striding in front of others. Okay, he says every carbon is that way. I never think about these things. I just read the parsha and Ayel, Par, and Seer. You know, these things are the same. Brought as an elevating offering, it expresses the vow that the riches and powers and the advantages of influence given to him will become solely fuel to keep the fires of godliness alive on earth. Now, to translate that into English, each of the three karbanos represents something else. Now, the Seh represents a passive subjugation to the Rabbeinu Shalalam, and Ayel represents a person who has something to offer and is going to use his kaiches to Hashem. And the Par represents a time that a lot of work is needed to get things accomplished. So these are the karbanos, at least as of Shamshon Farhash sees it. Well, whole Klal Yisrael is there. It's Alila Regal time. It's Shoshu Regalim. So they're all there, and this is representative of the people. This is actually Erev Pesach. I keep saying Pesach. It's the 14th Erev Pesach, which is anyway the time you bring the Karban Pesach. You don't bring the Karban Pesach on Pesach. You bring it Erev Pesach. Pesach Sheni is not the 15th of Iyar. It's the 14th of Iyar.
The Lulav is symbolized for four types of people, the ones who are right. So in a certain way, this is also three types of Yidden come together to do the Karban Pesach.
There are really three, I think, the historical times. There are times when things are good and you just represent yourself as someone following passively, and there are times when something has to be accomplished and seeds are planted. One more time, one more appropriate place to talk about seeds being planted than by the Binyan Bayis Shlishi, which is the Beis HaMikdash that won't be destroyed. Our Perek Mem Vav has a fascinating concept. It's like the highlight of the Haftarah of Parshas HaChodesh. And that has to do with the gates, the entrances. There were 13 entrances in the Bayis Sheni. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah says they used to bow when they pass by any one of the entrances, which has its own shtickle Torah, but I'm not going to digress. Here it talks about the formalities of entering the Beis HaMikdash. So let's read the Psukim. I'd like to get to the point which the Bali Musa bring, and which is Pasuk Tes. So you'll excuse me, let's go through the Psukim quickly, and I'll try to make the point. Koyamar Hashem Elokim. Shar HaChotzer HaPnimis HaPoin HaKodim. The gate of the inner courtyard, Hapoine Kodim, which points towards Mizrach, towards the east. The Beis HaMikdash was from east to west. We were so accustomed to davening towards east. And the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to give you a kick in the shins because you're going to face east and you have your back the wrong way. The Beis HaMikdash, you face Maariv. B'yem HaShabbos Yipaseach, B'yem HaChodesh Yipaseach. A special door, it's open one day a week, on Rosh Chodesh and on Shabbos. And the Nasi will enter the Beis HaMikdash through the hallway of the outer gate. He'll enter through a special entrance, which wasn't always open, and they'll do his karbanis, he's at the kayin, and once he enters, the gate remains open. As I told you, the custom was to bow at every shahr, even you didn't come into that shahr. If you walked in the Beis HaMikdash, past the shahr, you would bow at that point. And on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, when that shahr is open, it's also a place of bowing. It would be six kavasim again, a unique file tamil minchas eifa la'ayel v'lakvasim mincha matas yodei b'shemen hin la'eifa. Again, large measurement of mincha and shemen for the new rules for Shabbos. And again, a gigantic mincha. Now, this is again an offering. We had the offering of the 14th of Nisan. Now, Shab Shabbos is now Rosh Chodesh. He had the rules. The Nasi had his own gate. He would enter and go back out. Amoretz is me and you. Amoretz here does not mean ignoramus. It means the regular people, not the Nasi. Now listen to this rule. If you went in from the northern gate, Lishtachavais, to bow in the Beis HaMikdash, or to daven there, Yetzei Derech Shar Negev, you were not allowed to go back out through the gate through which you entered. You'd go out through the Shar Negev. Habod Derech Shar Negev, Yetzei Derech Shar Tzafayna. If you went in on the southern side, you go out through the northern side. Lo Yoshev Derech Hashar Asher Bo Boi. The rule is you don't go out from the same gate from which you went in, ki nichechai yetze. You would go out on the opposite side. Now this, that's the Musar. The Musar message is that you're not the same person. When you come in through a gate, you go out through a gate, then you're retracing your steps and going back to who you were before. And this idea of going in one gate and going out the other gate, and that's the part that I always remember from the Aftarah. The Karbanis, Par, Ayo, Keves, all the same thing, right? But to us, but the
Men Hay, it's best for those to stop Pesach and the Sukkot, and that they're Shoydish and Shabbos. Where's the Shayolah? With Shmuel, it's like.
He's only telling us the changes. He doesn't talk about Vdekuna, he doesn't talk about.
Oh, so that's why we don't have to reconcile.
I'm asking, and I think I mentioned last time that Rosh Chodesh will be a time of Aliyah L'Regel on the Bayis HaShlishi. The idea that Rosh Chodesh as a Chag was taken away because of the Egel, and Vayi Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatai, Midei Chodesh B'Chodshai, which is the Haftira of
Rosh Chodesh.
So that's going to be, that Rosh Chodesh is going to be one of the Regalim then. And so it'll be different batsam Klai Yisrael will gather.
Well, that happened on Shabbos. Low Shabbos,
yeah, low Chodesh. Okay, at any rate, this is the Haftarah, I guess, of Parshas HaChodesh, at least enough for this year. Left ourselves a few psukim for next year. It's very appropriate, really, a Rosh Chodesh Nissan. I mean, this is, the Haftarah begins with the Avayd of Rosh Chodesh Nissan. But a Bayis HaShlishi, B'Mehera Yavay.